Message that I like to bring for the new year, and it's Psalm 1. But before I do that, I want to read a passage here from Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. And the topic I want to talk about today is having God's blessing in your life this year. And how many of you would like to have more of God's blessing in your life and have things go well this year? And I wanted to share a few things about how we can have God's blessing in a greater way. And here in Galatians chapter 3, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And then here's the promise, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And so here it's talking about blessing, that we can have the blessing of Abraham come on us through Jesus Christ. And so way back in Genesis chapter 12, God promised Abraham a couple things, and I just want to read this here briefly. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who curse, who bless you, and I will curse those him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so when we read in Galatians chapter 3 about having the blessing of Abraham, we can actually refer back to Genesis 12, where it explains the blessing of Abraham. I mean, and so God told Abraham, I will bless those who bless you, and also the flip side, I will curse those who curse you. And so God had promised to bless Abraham, and it says here in Galatians 3 that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. Who's the Gentiles? Anybody who's not Jewish. I mean, God had a blessing for the Jewish people, but he also had a blessing for the people who weren't Jewish. And how do we receive that blessing? Simply by asking Jesus Christ into our life, trusting him to be our Savior. And so this is wonderful. Philip reminded us that we're in the Christmas season. We remember that Jesus Christ sent, that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world. You know, we have that familiar verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so God loved us so much that he sent his son into the world. And we remember that at Christmas time, that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world. And that if we will believe on him, that he is truly the Son of God. There's a great verse in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It says, it explains how to become a Christian. It says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so I sometimes say to people, being right with God is just a prayer away. If a person will pray and ask Jesus into their life, they can be right with God. And then they can have this blessing that is spoken of here in Galatians, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And so we can be born again, we can be filled with the Holy Spirit, all because of Jesus coming into this world and living here and dying for us on the cross and paying for our sins with his own blood. And then God raised him up 3 days later, and now he's up in heaven. He's praying for us. He's interceding for us. He ever lives to make intercession for us. And so when we talk about having God's blessing in our life, I like to start with that first, is that, first of all, if we have Jesus in our life, then we can have the blessing of Abraham in our lives. And so having said that, I want to also turn to Psalm 1, and it talks about blessing there. A person can really almost do a Bible study in the Bible about places where blessing, because if you read in the Sermon on the Mount, there's the Beatitudes, and the Beatitudes, they all start with that word blessed. And one of my favorite Beatitudes is, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You know, and I'm reminded Sometimes somebody asks me to do something, I want to be patient, I want to be merciful, and as I am patient and merciful to people, then God will bless me with mercy too when I need it. The other day somebody asked me to come over there and help them put something in, a piece of a thing for their computer, and so they somehow it wasn't working, and then they said, oh, I've had this in the box for 2 years. And so there was more to the story, but anyways, we got to be merciful, and praise God, we got it to work at the end. But here I want to just start reading in Psalm 1, and it's 6 short verses. I'm mainly going to talk about the first 3, but I'm going to read all 6. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And so here in Psalm 1, the first verse are 3 things that if we will stop doing them, if hopefully we aren't doing them, but if we will stop doing them, we will have more of God's blessing in our life. The other week I was visiting a church, and that church, they're going to start a sermon series here in January called I Quit. And so I was thinking about that. What can we quit doing this year that we were doing last year that wasn't good for us or good for other people? And here in Psalm 1, it says what we can quit doing, because it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So if we will quit listening to ungodly stuff, we will have more of God's blessing in our life. And what is ungodly stuff? Actually, anybody who is not lifting up the name of Jesus, Jesus, he said, he that's not gathering for me is scattering. Jesus said, he that's not for me is against me. And you know, we have to sometimes check up on things. What are we listening to in television or movies or books or magazines or so on? Is it lifting up Jesus? Is it drawing us closer to God, or is it taking us away from God? And so, I mean, everybody has to judge themselves. I mean, I listen to the news. I watch a little bit of TV, but I have to sometimes say, is this really helping me? And that's the first thing. Here it's saying, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So there's a blessing. Just turning away or turning off some stuff that is not godly, that's not edifying. And then there's actually a progression here in this verse, because it talks about somebody who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. That walking, and the next thing is standing, and then the last thing is sitting. And so here the second thing is, blessed is a man who doesn't stand in the path of sinners. And so hopefully none of us are going to bars at night or places where people are doing sinful stuff. But we have to check up on ourselves. Are we going the wrong places? Are we standing in the wrong places? I mentioned already the verse about John 3:16. God loves people, for God so loved the world. And there's another place in the Bible, it says, who will have all men to be saved. God wants everyone to be saved, but they have to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. And so if there are people who are doing sinful stuff, sometimes we have to choose who we are going to hang out with. There's a place in, I think, 2 Corinthians, it says, come out from among them and be separate. And sometimes we have to say, I want to go God's way. I want to be with people who love God, and I want to love other people, but I don't want to hang out with sinners. And there's a blessing here. It says, blessed is a man who doesn't stand in the path of sinners. And then the last thing here in verse 1, it says, blessed is a man. And when we're talking about man, we're talking about mankind, both men and women. I sometimes need to clarify that. But it says, blessed is the man who doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. And so what is scornful? Scornful is making fun of people or criticizing people wrongly. And so that is something we have to check up on ourselves. This last year, was I making fun of people at the wrong times or criticizing people or being scornful of people? Can I stop that? And there's a blessing for not sitting in the seat of the scornful. And that could even apply to ourselves. We don't want to be unkind to ourselves or scornful even of ourselves. You know, if we make a mistake, we can ask God to forgive us. There's a great verse in 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we can ask God to forgive us, and we can continue on knowing when we have Jesus in our heart that we are born again, that we are a child of God, and that God loves us. And so moving on here in Psalm 1, about the first verse was, there's a blessing for leaving some stuff off. And then it says here, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night. And in the Old Testament, the word law was almost referring to the whole Testament there. And so it's really referring to the Word of God. And so there's a blessing for delighting and meditating in God's Word. And so as we enter this new year, we have to ask ourselves, what are we going to think about? Are we going to think about the last person who insulted us, or said something unkind, or some news that is discouraging? Or will we think about the Word of God and meditate upon His Word? And I have to say for myself, I have to sometimes make an effort to do that. I have to say, I am going to shut off some wrong things, and I'm going to choose to hear the Word of God, to read His Word. You know, here we are as we enter in 2012, where it's a modern society. Most people have a cell phone in their pocket or in their purse. And so the cell phone is almost one more thing that could distract. I mean, years ago, first we had television. People would say, oh, too many people are watching TV. And now you could almost say, besides too many people watching TV, people are sitting at the computer almost all night or all evening. And now we have, in our pocket, we have a cell phone. And it's really surprising. Sometimes you even can go to a church service, and I have to watch that I'm not guilty of this myself, is you're listening there to the sermon and you're pulling out your cell phone and looking at it. And so there's lots of distractions around, and we have to say, what will I delight and meditate on? And so here we're going to talk about the blessing that comes if we will set aside some things. If we'll say, when I wake up in the morning, instead of running over to my computer and turning it on or checking my cell phone for messages and things like that, and all of that has its place, but first I'm going to put God's Word first in my life. And the wonderful thing about God's Word, it is unlike anything else that we can read. There is power in His Word, there's blessing in His Word, there's strength in His Word. And if we will do what it says here, delight and meditate in His Word day and night, then we can move into the promise here, which it talks about in verse 3. It says, He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. When I was growing up, my dad was really good about having family devotions, and so we would get together and we would all read something from the scriptures, and we would all pray, and then sometimes we would even sing a few songs. We came over from Germany when I was 3 years old, and so when I was growing up there in Connecticut, I was learning English in school, but we also spoke some German at home, so we sang some songs even in German and in English. And I actually have some songbooks at home that on one side of the column is the German version, the other column is the English version. And so one song we would sing that relates to this Psalm 1 is, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. And, you know, we can have that strength, that resiliency, that fortitude of not being moved no matter what happens in the world as we're delighting and meditating in His Word day and night. You know, I'll tell a story that relates to this. I used to work downtown Dallas, and so there's the Trinity River that goes over here between Fort Worth and Dallas, and so there was a park that was right next to the Trinity River, and so I used to go there sometimes during lunch hour, and right there by the river were huge trees. I mean, these trees were almost, you barely could put your hands around them. They were so big, they might have been 200 years old. And you know, you wonder, you would see big open fields, but right there by the river would be these big trees. And so how did these trees grow so big, even though here in Texas sometimes we have sometimes a month or two where there's no rain, and other times we get plenty of rain. How did those trees grow so big? Because they were right there by the river. And so that is the way we want to be. It says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that no matter what is happening in our economy, no matter what's happening in our country, no matter what's happening in the world, we can be like a tree planted by the rivers. And how does that happen? By delighting and meditating in God's word day and night. And then it says here, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. You know, I like to eat fruit. I go to the store and buy apples, and I don't know if you have a favorite fruit, but it's nice even having a fruit tree. I have a pear tree in my backyard. But, you know, one thing about a fruit tree, you don't see it out there struggling. You don't see it out there saying, oh, I'm going to make an apple today, or I'm going to make a pear today and struggle. It just grows. It's just there. It has its roots in the ground. It's getting water. It's getting the sunlight. It's getting the nutrients from the earth. And when it's fall time, I start getting pears. If you have an apple tree, you start getting apples. And that's the way it is with this comparison. If we're being compared in this Psalm 1 to being like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, if we will just plant the Word of God into our life, if we'll say, God, I'm going to draw near to you and you will draw near to me, I'm going to realize, there's a great verse in Hebrews, it says, without faith it's impossible to please God, but he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that will diligently seek him. And if we will seek him through his word, we're going to see this promise in Psalm 1 come into a greater display in each one of our lives in this year of 2012. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. And you know, when we are talking about our lives being compared to a tree, then when we're talking about fruit, we're not talking about apples and pears and oranges. We're talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And if I can turn back here to Galatians chapter 5, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. But it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And if you want to say, do you want more love this year? Do you want more joy this year? Do you want more peace this year? Do you want more self-control this year? I want to encourage you to do what we're talking about here this morning. Spend some time in God's Word. And of course, that all relates to having a relationship to Jesus Christ and trusting him as Savior. This is not a mechanical thing, but as we are in his word, as we're delighting in God's word day and night, we're building that relationship with Jesus Christ our Savior, and we can have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We can have the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our life, and then that's the one kind of the fruit of the Spirit, and then the other thing is that we can have fruit that we can see people being influenced through our life. As we have God's love and joy and peace in our life, that can flow over into other people's lives, and people who are not even Christians can turn and receive Jesus Christ as Savior. And so here in Psalm 1, it says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. And then the third thing here says, whose leaf also shall not wither, And this is a pretty amazing promise, because if we are being compared to a tree whose leaf is not withering, that's meaning the leaf, that tree is staying healthy, right? If its leaf is not withering. And this is a great promise. You know, sometimes people say, well, can God keep us healthy? And there's some great promises in the Bible that relate to God keeping us healthy. And there's actually one here in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 through 22. And it's, if you'll listen to this, this relates, ties in together with Psalm 1. It says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh." So I hopefully you see the connection. Here in Psalm 1, it's saying, if we're delighting and meditating in God's word day and night, our leaf will not wither. And there in Proverbs 4, it's saying, if we will give attention to God's word, it's health to all of our flesh. And that can be shown even further. There's a great verse in 3 John 2. "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." And how does your soul prosper? Through the word of God. If we'll plant God's word in our life. And then it says here, the last phrase, Psalm 1, verse 3. "And whatever he does shall prosper." And so, you know, some of you may already be retired, and God bless you, I'm still in the working class realm. But, you know, whatever we do, whether I have a day job as an engineer, whatever we do, God will prosper what we are doing. Whether a person's a teacher in the medical field, whatever profession, as long as it's legal, I would say, I'll put that in there, God will prosper that. And we can claim this promise that, you know, sometimes as an engineer, I'd have a project and you're having to coordinate things. You're having to trust that everything's going to work out well. And you can claim this promise. Whatever he does shall prosper. Why? Because we're doing what it said here in this psalm. We're having that relationship with Jesus Christ. We're abiding in the vine. We're delighting in his word day and night. And we're being like that tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf will not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. And then I will just make a few comments about the last three verses here in Psalm 1. You know, one time I was at a Bible study, and we were talking about personalities. I don't know if you've ever heard, there's a lot of discussion or models about personalities, but I sometimes at a Bible study like to raise my hand and say something. And so one time I raised my hand and I said, you know, really there's only two kinds of people. And if you look at Psalm 1, you could see the two kinds of people right there. Because really the only two kinds are either the ones who are planted by the river, like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And the other kind is what it says here in Psalm 1 verse 4. "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away." What is the chaff? It's like almost a little leaf that it's here lying on the ground, and the wind blows it one way, the wind blows it another way. There's no root there. There's no stability there. And sadly, you know, I talk to people and they describe something that went wrong. They trusted somebody and then the person let them down. And you have to ask, was that person like this tree planted by the waters, or were they like the chaff? And, you know, each one of us can check up on ourselves too and say, am I like the chaff or am I like the tree? Do I want to be like the tree planted by the rivers of water? And this year, each one of us can make some choices that have us rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus. And so I want to say here the last verse of Psalm 1. It says, "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." And that's the amazing thing, is that God sees every one of us. God loves every one of us. The Bible says God sees even the hair and knows how many hairs we have on our head. The Bible says that God sees when a little bird falls to the ground. And we are much more valuable than even a little bird. And I mention that to say, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous. We can trust God to keep us all the days of our life. There's a verse in the New Testament that says, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And we can commit the keeping of our life, the keeping of our every part of our being, that he will keep us as we live for him. And so it's, you know, sometimes people give a different analogies about being a Christian, but the wonderful thing is that God loves us and he's keeping us. There's a verse way at the end of the Bible here in Jude, and it's, I'll quote it instead of turning to it. It says, turn to it just so I say it correctly here. But it says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Yeah, that's in the King James. It says, now to him who is able to keep you from falling. He's able to keep you from falling. And so as we talk about these, having God's blessing in our life and drawing close to God and spending some time in his word, we're also mindful that God loves us and he's able to keep us from falling. He is protecting us. He's keeping us. And that's a verse I even like to pray. Say, God, I just thank you that you're able to keep me from falling and to keep me. And we just thank God for his keeping power in our life. And so I'm going to say a short prayer here, and then we're going to sing a couple more songs. But I want to encourage you this year to draw closer to God. Draw closer to God than you ever have. And the Bible says, as we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto us. The Bible says in Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So let's say a short word of prayer here. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you that you love every person here, that you have got good things for them. You want them to prosper and be in health, even as their soul prospers through the word of God. And Lord, help us this year to have a desire to seek you first in a greater way, that you would give us a spirit of prayer, that you would give us a spirit to read your word, to delight and meditate in your word, to delight and meditate in you, to enter your courts with praise, and Lord, to have an attitude of gratitude and of thanksgiving. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you have brought each person here safe this far through this last year, and that you will bring us safely through today and the rest of this year. Lord, we pray your blessing upon each man and woman here, that you take care of them. You love